The following audio is from Fathom Church in Littleton, Colorado. More information about Fathom can be found at fathomchurch.org.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy anniversary, church. 10 years. Here we are. 10 years. 10 years ago, yesterday, officially, 10 years ago, yesterday was the first official service of Fathom Church. And so if you're a guest with us today, we're glad you're here. You've come on an interesting Sunday because we're not going to do kind of our normal stuff. We're going to do a little bit more reflection and kind of thinking back on the last 10 years and how God has been kind and faithful to us. But I did want to say this. We do have water bottles. You didn't see them as you were coming in because I didn't want you to be kicking them down the aisles during my sermon. Okay. So we just set them all up. They're in the lobby now. Everybody gets one on their way out. So take a water bottle on your way out. They come without water. Okay, mine does not though. Hey, I normally would say if you've got your Bibles, and I hope you do, open them up, but we're going to do something different today. And you can send me an email later, okay, if that upsets you. Because today is our 10th anniversary, I want to take some time to talk about Fathom, about this church, and really our journey together as a congregation. And I'll start this way. I was thinking this week, even if you're not a Christian, let's just say in here you don't believe in Jesus, you're just here, somebody brought you, you're investigating, however you might have gotten here, even if you're not a Christian, you probably, at least on some level, know the story of Noah and the Ark. Noah and the Ark, okay? And I think that's a story that culturally has kind of been stolen from us. Christians, even, it's been stolen from us. I think the story of Noah has lost a lot of its thrust and its weight when we turned it into a children's fable. That's kind of, I don't know. I cannot figure out when or why it became okay to decorate our children's nurseries and bedrooms around a moment in time where God murdered everyone. And we just put a mural up in the kids' rooms. I don't understand it. Is it to scare them into submission? Like, is that the purpose of it? Daddy, why are those giraffes and those birds all going to that boat? Daddy, why is that happening? Well, sweetie, because once upon a time, God killed everyone. I mean, it was horrific. It was just a terrible thing. He killed everyone to start things over because God kills sinners. And can you imagine this little girl is like, you're like, sweetie, do you need to pray? It's like, yeah, I bet you do, right? Like that's, what's the point of that? But I was thinking about Noah this week a little bit as I was thinking about 10 years as a church. The Noah story is weird because Noah started building a boat 500 miles from the nearest ocean. And this boat was 1,000 times too big for his own family. And he just starts filling it with animals. And listen, that's why I bought a house in a neighborhood with covenants, all right? Because I don't need a Noah next door, right? Building something that in his yard that I don't want to see for the next decade, okay? But why did Noah do this? Why did Noah start doing something so incredibly insane on the surface? He did it because God told him to. That's why Noah did it. And that's how Fathom started. That's how this church began 10 years ago. We thought God told us to. We thought God told us to. Now, I'm not trying to like compare myself to Noah, all right? I'm more like the second half of Noah's life, not the first faithful half. If you know the book, you'll know what I'm talking about. But I'm not claiming to be Noah, but here's what happened. 11 years ago, I was working for another church. I was a worship leader. I was full-time. I was making a steady paycheck, okay? My ministry was going pretty well. Some of you were there. Like, you were with me there. Like, you know me from that life. Marcy and I had just bought a house. We were trying to get pregnant to start a family. We had good friends at this church. I mean, it was a win. Things were on point for us. And then right in the middle of that, I got this longing to plant a church. I call it the church planting bug. Like, I just caught the bug and I was like, you know what I'd love to do is ruin everything and start something from scratch and see if that goes down. That's kind of where my heart was. I got this feeling to start a church. And you don't just make a life-altering decision based on a feeling. You know that, right? You don't just like change everything based on a feeling. So I got this feeling. And so then Marcy and I started talking about it. And then we started praying about it. And then we started seeking wise counsel and getting others to speak into that. Like, are we going to ruin our lives if we do this? Like, we started seeking wisdom around this. And as we thought about it, it really didn't make sense for me to start a church at that time because I hadn't yet finished seminary. Okay, I have now. I have at this point, okay? But at that point, I hadn't. Still finishing up my seminary degree. I'd never been a lead pastor, never really led something like this. I was a decent worship leader, okay? And I'd been a youth pastor for like 10 years, so I knew how to like beat kids down with a dodgeball, and I was excellent at foosball. I was really good at those things, but that was kind of it. And I've told you before, before we planted this church 10 years ago, I had preached a total of 6 sermons. I had preached 6 times, which, by the way, is not a lot. That's not a lot of reps. So it didn't make any sense for a 28-year-old guy who had as many preaching reps as an intern to quit my job to with my now pregnant wife. She got pregnant during that season, so that was great. And we had a mortgage, okay? And so it made no sense to be like, hey, you know what? Give up the steady paycheck to try something that you're not sure you're good at and start this church. Become a full-time preacher with your 6 reps, buddy. It was like build a boat 500 miles away from the ocean kind of stuff. For me, that's how it felt. And I remember meeting with a guy as we were kind of planting, and I was telling him about this desire to church plant, and he said, Chris, please don't plant a church. Which is a kind thing to say, right? But he said, Chris, don't plant a church. If you want to preach, just go get a preaching job at an established church, which by the way, would never have happened with 6 whole reps, okay? My lack of experience, I never would have gotten hired. Any church that hires somebody with 6 reps is bad decision, bad stewardship, okay? But that guy continued. He said, don't plant a church. Don't you know that 9 out of 10 church plants fail within the first 5 years? You'd be better shot to start a restaurant than to start a church in terms of statistics. He said, this could wreck your ministry. This could strain your marriage. You could even lose your home. Like, don't go somewhere where they can pay you. Don't just start a church from scratch. And I remember in that meeting, I was like, oh, let me just eat this in, okay? Thank you. Let me marinate in your encouragement real quick. Thank you for this. It's like, no, you're paying for lunch, okay? I forget that, you know? You're supposed to be encouraging me. But I remember this season. Marcy and I remember, we were thinking about this week. I remember in one of our more fearful moments before we jumped, Marcy said to me this question, which is a good, legit question. She says, hey, Chris, what if no one comes? Like what, which is a legit question when you're starting a church. Like what if no one comes? Like what if none of our friends or our family, or let alone new people come? What if we fail? What if we look like fools? And hear me, my temptation in that moment was to try and like hedge my bets a little bit. My temptation was to wait on moving on God until he gave me some things, until he provided some securities for me. Like I was just tempted to be like, yeah, God, I know you're telling me to do this, to plant a church, and I will once you provide me with the money to do it. I know you're calling me to plant this church, and I will once you provide me with some people, like a core team to come with me. Yeah, I'll plant this church, Lord, once you bring me a worship leader so that we're not like watching Hillsong videos while I preach. Like I had some things in my head, and God told me, like he was telling me in this season, that's not what faith is all about. That's not what faith is. Faith is about, as the writer of Hebrews says, trusting in the unseen things. Trusting in unseen things. Noah wasn't like, sure, God, I'll build a boat, just maybe a little rain, please, so that all my neighbors don't think I'm an idiot. He sets no boundary to his obedience. And I've told you for 10 years now, faith is about stepping out to do what God has called you to do before all the circumstances have been worked out. It's about stepping out to do what God calls you to before your list of securities is met. College students who are thinking about graduation and jobs and marriages and all that, faith is about stepping out before you know. Young families who are thinking about starting families, raising kids, faith with your children is about stepping out before you've read all the books on parenting. It's about trusting that God is calling you into something before you know all of the steps that it's going to take for you to get there. Anybody can walk a well-lit path. But Christians, we are called to walk by faith. We're called to walk by faith. So Marcy and I made the jump of obedience with no assurance that it would work out. No guarantees. We trusted that if God was going to call us to plant a church, then he was going to have to be the one who saw it through. Because all of the reasons were kind of stacked against us. And so I tendered my resignation at my former church, and I started talking to people about planting a church. And I remember sitting in Eric and Ann Shelley's living room, their old living room, before they renovated it into a beautiful thing. It was the old one with all those mirrors. Weird, okay? Thank you for getting rid of mirrors. It made it look bigger, but it's not bigger. It's just mirrors, okay? But I remember sitting with these two in their living room before we planted and just kind of talking about planting a church. And they had been a part of another church plant before they met me, and they had actually launched that in their house. And so they knew that church planting is tough. Like, starting something is very difficult. And so I think they were just kind of like sizing me up, like taking stock as to whether or not this guy knows what he's talking about or if he is just as dumb as we think he might be. And so I think they were kind of weighing that out. And listen, that's wise. That's wisdom. You don't want to leave your church to go to a new church without really weighing the options, taking stock of what God has for you. And so I'm having conversation after conversation with people who I'm trying to say, hey, you know what you should do is leave your comfort and leave your friends and leave your community and come with me, the guy who's preached six times, like come be a part of Fathom Church, right? Which, by the way, didn't exist. I bought a URL on the web and I didn't even have a website. Just locked that thing down, man. And I had these conversations with people and I remember one couple committed. And then I'm sitting at like a yogurt land with another couple and they committed. And we had like two couples. And so when we launched 10 years ago, we had about 20 people who had committed to our church. 20 people who would say, we're in. And it's like, okay, listen, at least if we're going to look like morons, we're going to look like morons with 20 of our friends. That's what we felt. But obedience to God, friends, very often looks absurd at the beginning. Obedience to God very often looks absurd. I mean, we look around today and we're like, hey, it worked. Like, we got a church here. Like, this actually worked. But it didn't start that way. After you launch your church with 20 people, and I literally looked at Marcy. I'm like, I'm not sure this thing's going to take. You're supposed to, like, build up a launch and, like, have a lot of energy. And we forgot to do that. And so we just had 20 of our friends in a Young Life facility that smelled like a hockey pad. It was disgusting. There was no air conditioning. Thank goodness it was February, but it was rough. It didn't start the way that it looks today. So guys, if you've been around here a minute, you know we normally preach straight through books of the Bible, okay? And I'm going to get back. We'll be back in 2 Samuel with an obscure Old Testament chapter next week. I promise we're going to go back to that. But in light of the 10th anniversary of Fathom, I thought we'd take a week to reflect back. Christians are notoriously bad at thinking backwards and celebrating God's faithfulness. We're very much like, hey, where's God taking us? Where's God calling us? Where are we going next? So I want to pause today and I want to look back. And I want to think on the goodness and faithfulness of God to our church. And I was meeting with my friend, Sean Garman, who's the president of the network we're a part of, One Gospel Network. I met with him a couple weeks ago, and he asked me, he knew that our 10th anniversary was coming up, so he asked me this question. He says, Chris, as you get close to 10 years as a church, tell me what the like three characteristics that mark Fathom Church would be. Like, as an outsider, what are the three big things? Like, what would you say are the things? And as I thought about them and then verbalized them with Sean, I realized, okay, that's what we should talk about on our 10th anniversary celebration. So that's the plan for this morning, okay? I've got three marks of Fathom Church from our first 10 years. These shouldn't be surprising to you if you're a part of this church. Here we go. What is the first mark of Fathom as a church? Fathom Church is marked by God's word. We are marked by the Word of God. We can all agree upon that. You want to know what I love about Fathom? I love how much you love the Word of God. It's so evident to me. You love this book. We love God's Word. It permeates everything we do. And I've told you, I am a Bible guy. I believe this whole thing. I believe it cover to cover. I think the whole thing is inspired by God. I think the whole thing is a story that points to our Savior, Jesus Christ. Gosh, I believe in this book so much, I think the leather's genuine. And that's how much I believe this thing. This one is actual leather, okay? Some sort of animal died to make this book. Goat, okay? Sheep's in the goat. They don't kill sheep for Bibles. They kill goats for Bibles, all right? But I'm a Bible guy. And we are a Bible people. You're Bible people. When we started this church, we wrote a mission statement. Our mission statement, which has not changed in 10 years, is that Fathom Church exists to glorify God by making disciples. And we ripped that off from what Chelsea read over us this morning, Matthew chapter 28, which is the Great Commission. I'll read that again. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says, "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me.'" And now here's the message for the church. "You go. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold," here's the power that gives us the ability to make disciples with him. "Behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." At Fathom, we make disciples by teaching people to observe God's word. That's how we make disciples. It's a commitment to God's word. I mean, I know that we preach through, like if you're a part of this, you know we preach through whole books of the Bible. But if you've been checking out other churches, you've been around the block a little bit, you know that's not happening in every church. Not every church is committed to kind of the exposition through the text that we are. And it's actually why a lot of you have landed here at Fathom, because of how we handle God's word. So I was thinking on this, like, what are some ways that this has marked us, that God's word has marked our church? I'll give you a few. First, I love your authenticity when it comes to God's word. Now, I know authenticity is kind of like a buzzword in churches, like every church wants to be cool and authentic or whatever that means, but I love your authenticity. And what I mean is that I love the fact that we can be real about the weird stuff in God's word, the challenging stuff in God's word, the interesting stuff in God's word, the bizarre stuff in God's word. Like, we can just be authentic about the fact that this book is of the utmost importance to us, and sometimes it's really challenging. Sometimes it's really hard. I love that we can kind of be real about that with one another. And I love that I can be real with you as a preacher and you kind of reciprocate that right back at me. I don't feel like Fathom is a place where we're too stuffy or rigid. And yet we take this thing unbelievably serious. Unbelievably serious. And I don't know if you know this or not. You probably don't. But I almost failed my first preaching class. Did you know that? Have I told you that? I'm not sure if I've told you that. I was at CCU. I took I think it was communication for ministry class. And I almost failed it. I got a C-ish grade. Okay? I'm not supposed to say that as a preacher. Like, I'm not great at this. Okay? I got a C-ish in my first preaching class, and I did really poorly because these were some of the remarks that my preaching instructor told me. May he rest in peace, okay? He's dead now, but I'm still here, that's all I'm saying, okay? These are what he said. He said, "Chris, you move around too much," okay? He said, "I put my hands in my pockets too much." You're not supposed to. Like, you're supposed to do this or something. And I was just trying to keep myself calm, because if you've ever spoke for the first time, your hands are shaky. And so I just did this to protect myself from everybody seeing that my hands were shaking, but whatever. Okay. He said, "You did some strange up on the toes things," which I didn't realize I did. But apparently I do with the way that you're responding. I guess I like to be up on the balls of my feet a little bit, doing some calves. I've got great calves, okay? Under these khakis are some good-looking calves. I used too much slang. He didn't like that. And I went way too long. They gave me 15 minutes. Right? I went way too long. He had to cut me off, and that's why I almost failed. I'm still working on that at this point. But I almost failed that first class. And by the way, literally, it's still happening. I'm still failing at this. There's times, like I get emails from the elders often correcting me, saying, "Bud, you can't say that." And I'm like, "You're right. Yeah, I should really have a filter." Which is why I write out most of what I say, but it's still not helping, you guys. I'm just telling you, there's not a lot of churches that would put up with me like this, okay? I just love that. I love that you love me. I love that I'm allowed to do this, okay? I mean, really, it sounds silly, but I love that we can be authentic here. Second, I love how much you almost lean into a gospel beatdown. Like, I love how much you lean into the difficult stuff. People rarely leave our church because we're overly convicting them. They don't leave because of those hard things. You might disagree with us at some level and have to leave, but people aren't leaving because you just love, it's like almost like you're masochists of some sort. Like, you just love to lean into these gospel beatdowns. You're like the weird CrossFit people who post on social media, right? Like, their pictures of them, like, "I just blew the best workout ever, just bled out of my eyelids." And you're like the weird CrossFit people of the Bible, okay? You just lean into it. I feel like I'm always just hitting you all the time, and you just keep getting up. You're like Rocky Balboa, okay? You're like the Rocky of churches, and I just rail on you, and I call you sinners, and I tell you, you need to obey the word of God, and you just lean in, take it on the chin, and say, "Tell us again, Pastor," and I love that about you. I love it about you. You're not too soft, okay? Finally, I love how your zeal for God's word has played out into your zeal for your friends and your family to come to know Jesus. Like, your evangelistic zeal is so closely linked with your love of God's word that I just love how much you want everybody around you to know who Jesus is and to believe in him. I mean, remember that One More sermon I preached a year ago? One More. I preached a sermon last year called One More, and we talked about just one more person, one more friend, one more neighbor, one more family member, that we all have one more. Well, that one sermon stuck significantly with our church, because I still, a year later, have some of you who text me or email me or like nudge me in the lobby, and you're like, "Hey, I'm bringing my one more on Sunday. Hey, see, she's my one more." Which is like Bible code for like, "Hey, bud, this better not be a dud, all right? Don't you lay an egg today. He's here with me," okay? I love that. I do, I love it. You really believe, hear me, listen to me. You need to hear this about yourself. You really believe that a commitment to God's word is what's gonna get people saved. Not some gimmicky church hype thing. It's not like we've got to bait and switch your friends. You're like, "Just come hear the word." I love that about you. I love that about this church. Fathom Church is marked by our commitment to God's word. That's the first thing. Okay, number two. This is topical preaching, just so you know. This is what you don't get when you come here normally, okay? Fathom Church is marked by our view of God's people. It's marked by our view of God's people. We have a high view of God's word, and we have a high view of the church. So we talk a lot about the church at Fathom, and that's because we have what we call a high ecclesiology, a high view of the local expression of God's body, of the church. And the church is one of the things that when we talk about in church, it feels a little self-serving, but it's also one of the things that I find Christians are sometimes most confused about. Ecclesiology seems to be something that people are confused about, and that's understandable because the scriptures have a lot of various things to say about the church. I'll just point out a few, okay? Romans chapter 16 says this from Paul. He says, "Greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Greet also the church in their house." So the New Testament, Paul is inferring here that the church is a group of believers who gather in a house, which is really cool because that's how we started. Like before February 1st, when we planted in the Young Life facility, we did some pre-planting meetings in my in-laws' living room, like sitting on the couch. That's where we started. It was in a house. So that was cool. But then I read 1 Corinthians 1:2, and that says, to the church of God that is in Corinth. Now that's bigger, right? Because the church of Jesus is believers in a house, but the church is also all of the believers in like a city, in Corinth, okay? And so when we planted, our vision was we want to plant a church in Littleton. Littleton was our target. Littleton was the city that we, so we started in the living room and then we moved to Littleton. That was the idea. But then Acts 9:31 says, so the church throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria had peace and was being built up. So the church is a group of believers in a house, and the church is also all of the believers in a city. But then thirdly, a church is also all of the believers in like a region, in a larger area. So we would say like, okay, all the believers in Littleton and Centennial and Lakewood and Highlands Ranch and Aurora, if there's any Christians in Aurora, we'll add Aurora in. But like, that's what it is, which is kind of what we are right now. How many of you live in Littleton? How many of you don't live in Littleton? See, we should start a gang. Littleton on this side, non-Littleton on this side, throw down in the parking lot afterwards. I think it'd be awesome, okay? But then Ephesians 5 is where things get really wild when it comes to how the New Testament talks about the church, because this is what Paul says in 5:25. Husbands, love your wives. And you're thinking, oh, why is he talking about marriage and the church? But he is. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now that's different. That's different because that's not a reference to any one specific church, any one specific city, any one specific region. No, now we are seeing that the church is also all of the believers everywhere for all of time. Paul can say to the church, tell them this. So this is a complex idea. The church is a complex idea. And I would just posit to you that for the last 10 years, Fathom Church has leaned heavily into the idea that the church is simply God's people. That we are in community as God's people. And I've said things that are real kitschy, but they are true. I've said things like, the church isn't a place, it's a people. The church isn't an event, it's a community, right? Simply going to church does not make you a Christian. Just going to church, just showing up and sitting in a chair, just going to church makes you as much of a Christian as sticking your head in the oven makes you a turkey. That's what it is. It's a misunderstanding of church. It's a misunderstanding of ecclesiology. And here's what I know from 10 years of doing life with this local church. We are about being God's people together. We are about being, like, you are my people. And I'm your people. Like, we're each other's people. This is about being God's people together, which means if you're newer to our community, we want you in. Like, we want you in. We don't just want you taking up a chair. We want you in this community. Here's one of the ways it manifests for me personally. I love meeting us. I love meeting us. I love it. If you were with us back in our old space 5 months ago, remember my nook? My little pastor's nook in that weird little hallway that smelled bad. Remember that nook that I stood in before and after every service? And now we've got a lobby and I'm trying to like figure out where I fit in the lobby. It's still a mystery to me. But listen, I love standing in that nook and greeting every single one of you as you came into our church. I loved it. It's one of the things I miss the most about the old facility is I don't get to stand there and you can't sneak by. You can sneak by me better here than you could at the old space. But I love that, and you know what? It's not because I'm by nature good at it, and it's also not part of my job description. Like in my lead pastor job description, it's not like point 3 says, stand in lobby, greet everyone. That's not like protocol that the elders have given me as part of my duties, because listen, chit chat exhausts me. Some of you are, it like fuels your system. You're one of them, you know, just loves to chit it and chat it, okay? That is not me. That's, I will preach 3-4 sermons, no problem. If I have to stand out in that lobby and chit chat too much, it's gonna drain my soul, okay? But listen, I love it. I love it because I wanna know who you are. I love it. I mean, it's not a part of my job, and yet that's what I do. I really wanna know who you are, and it's getting harder. That's why nobody has to know everyone at this church, but everyone has to be known at this church. Not even in me. I don't have to know everyone at this church, but everyone needs to be known at Fathom Church. That's what we are about. And so if you're newer here, if you're kind of checking us out, you just need to know that. No bait and switch here. Fathom is not a good spectator church. This is not a spectator church. We are an everyone in the game church. You ever go to skating rinks as a kid? This is an all skate. Whistle blown, everyone in the pool. This is an adult swim. Get in, get wet. Like that's what, this is the kind of church we are. We need you and you need us in order to do church right. So guys, we're about God's word. We're about God's people. The last thing, the third thing that marks the first 10 years of Fathom is that we are about God's redemption. We're about God's redemption. Now, I need to tell the story of 2019 because 2019 was a pivotal year for the life of Fathom Church, okay? In 2019, Fathom celebrated our fourth anniversary, fourth birthday as a church. It was lovely. We had grown pretty quickly. Like in our first 4 years as a church plant, we had gone from the 20 to a couple of hundred, which is, it's pretty quick. It's not rapid, crazy growth, but it's faster than normal. And so we had a couple hundred people and we had a growing staff. And if I'm honest, and I can look back 6 years now and be pretty honest with who I was at that moment. If I'm honest, I thought I kind of had like the church planting special sauce. Like I think I thought I knew what I was doing. Like if I could go back and talk with myself, like I never would have said it out loud, but I was starting to believe I've got this. We got through the first 4 years. We're beating the odds. I've got this. I am a great church planter. I'm a great preacher. I must be pretty incredible. Jesus must be pretty pleased to have me on his team. There's a lot of others that he's like, man, I'm glad I got Chris, right? I never would have said those things, but I think I believed some of those things. They were creeping into my heart. That is, until one elders meeting in February of 2019, when the elders informed me that somebody had accused me of plagiarizing portions of some sermons that I'd preached. And you see, accompanying this, I've got this feeling that I was feeling, accompanying that thought was this thought. If I'm gonna keep this thing growing, then I've gotta preach incredible messages every Sunday, and the only way that I'm gonna do that is with the words of much more accomplished and successful preachers. And so the elders called me on it. I'll never forget sitting in that room that day, them calling me on it, and as soon as the words were coming out of their mouths, it's like I knew. Ever get caught and you just know? Like I knew, just as they were saying it, they knew. I knew and I confessed and I just was like, yeah. Yeah, it's true. And I owned it. I was found out. I was ashamed, but I just said, yeah, I'm sorry. And it came out. Well, by the next morning, there were multiple people in our church calling for my immediate termination as lead pastor of Fathom. There was a movement to say Chris is no longer qualified to be the pastor here. We need to fire him. And it was, when I heard that, it was as if the bottom of the pit of my stomach fell out. You know that feeling where it's just like gone? And I didn't know if I was going to lose my job. I didn't know if I was going to lose my church. I didn't know if I was going to lose all my friends. I mean, you're my friend. Like, this is pretty much it for me. This is it. Like, you might like me, but out of this, this is about it. I didn't know if I was going to ever be a pastor again. Who's going to hire the plagiarist who got fired? I didn't know if my career was over. We had just bought a house. We were renovating it. I didn't know if I was going to lose my house. How was I going to provide for my family? It was like a full tailspin in 1 hour where it felt like my life fell apart. And some of you were very kind and very sweet and walked with me through that. And a couple of days later, after that meeting with the elders, we had a church town hall meeting. Some of you were there. We packed almost 200 into our old room. So just put it in perspective. This is just about 200. Okay, so that was like in a room this small, okay? And we packed everybody into that room, and I confessed my sin to the whole church. And I said in that meeting these words. We always say that Fathom Church is a place where it's okay not to be okay. It's something we've said since we started, that Fathom Church is a place where it's okay not to be okay. And I said to my church, to my congregation that day, that has always been easy for me to believe about every single one of you. But it's been much more difficult for me to believe about me. And I would wager that's a sentiment that many of us share. It's okay not to be okay, as long as you're the one who's not okay. But the minute you're the one who's not okay, it's not okay. Follow me? And I'm thankful. I'm thankful that you guys didn't fire me. Because you could have. The members could have, you know, made a motion to fire me. The elders could have fired me. Like, you could have fired me legitimately in that moment. But you didn't. And the consequences for my sin, that my sin caused, were significant. We're talking about David's consequences of his sin in 2 Samuel. My sin had consequences as well. I was put on a 9-month church discipline process. I was suspended as the lead pastor of Fathom. I had a care team of other local pastors and ministers who were caring for me. I saw a counselor weekly, sometimes twice a week, because it just wasn't like I needed it at that kind of triage level. And I took those months and I tried to work through, how did I get here? How did I get to this place? And the consequences weren't just for me. The consequences were for us as a church. More than 150 people left Fathom in 3 months, which I don't know if you know that, it's crippling for a church our size. More than 150 people left, some of because what I had done and some because of what others had done in light of what I had done. But it didn't really matter. In the end, we were below 100. Gosh, if this whole thing didn't just blow up and we didn't almost make it to our 5th anniversary. I mean, if you were there, you remember it was a season of darkness and it was bleak. Now, I talked to one of our elders right in the middle of all of that mess while I was suspended, and he was trying to like just encourage me that I was going to make it through this. I was in a deep place of despair, discouragement, depression. I mean, it was pretty bad. And I said, man, how is our church ever going to recover from this? How am I ever going to recover from this? I mean, you didn't fire me, so I'm coming back probably, but who's going to want to come listen to the plagiarist pastor preach ever again? How's this going to work? And he said something to me in his living room that stuck. He said, Chris, if Fathom Church isn't a place of redemption, even for you as the lead pastor, then it deserves to close. He said, we don't shoot our wounded. And I know some of your stories. And I know some of the churches that you have come from. And I know some of you have felt like you've been shot by your church family when you were bleeding out. And he just reassured me that we don't shoot our wounded. We tend to our wounded. And that was the beginning of me experiencing redemption like I had never experienced before in my Christian journey. The redemption of God for me, yes, I experienced that, but the redemption from you, my church, was so palpable. So many people stood by my side and just said, Chris, we love you. You don't need to impress us with someone else's words. We love you. That guy's not our pastor. You're our pastor. We love you. I thought you loved what I could do. I thought it was much more useful to you than loved. And you proved me wrong. So many of you told me this. So many of you showed me that it's actually okay for me not to be okay. And I'm just telling you, just like preaching through weird passages of the Bible isn't normal in churches, staff that feels safe to not be okay is not normal in churches. Just read the news. Just follow some pastors for a minute and you'll see people who are really good at hiding stuff because there's nowhere for them to share the stuff that goes on in their hearts. Fathom Church is a place, I'll say confidently after 10 years of ministry and from personal experience, Fathom Church is a place where it's okay not to be okay. But you can't stay there. That's the other little piece we tag on to that. It's okay not to be okay. It's just not okay to stay there, even for me. Even for the lead pastor, even for the guy who started this thing, this is a safe place to confess of and repent of your sin, and we will not shoot our wounded here. But listen, God is too kind to us to let us stay there. If you're looking for us to just be like, oh, it's okay. Yeah, that sin is horrific, but oh, it's okay. You just keep doing that. No. That's neither kind nor loving nor gospel-centered. Sometimes the greatest gift of God that he will give us is to bring us to the very end of ourselves. And my sin being put on public display corrected the course not only of me, but of us, of Fathom Church. The course was corrected back to a reliance upon God's word, not on my preaching ability. It course corrected us back as a church, back to a focus on being God's people, not on growing something. The goal here, and I say it all the time now, the goal here is not to grow big. It's to go deep. It's to reach wide. Grow bigger is not the mission or vision of Fathom Church. This is God's good work of redemption. So it's been 10 years. 10 years today. 10 years yesterday. Today's Groundhog Day. It feels like it was yesterday, okay? And here's the truth, guys. I don't know how many more. Churches rise and fall. None of us are promised another decade. Maybe we'll have one. Maybe we won't. But I can commit to you that we want to remain marked by those things. In decade two, we want to be a church that's fully submitted to God's word. We want to be a church that lives vibrantly as God's people. And we want to be a church that practices and extends God's redemption to one another. It's okay not to be okay here. If it ever changes, I'm out. And you should too. He has been faithful to bring us this far. And so I feel grateful. People have been asking me, how do you feel? And I'm overwhelmed with gratitude today. I'm thankful, first of all, to Marcy, who risked Noah's Ark with me. So thank you, my wife. I'm thankful to old friends who knew me before this, and to new friends who've put up with me in this. Thankful to you. I'm so thankful to the Lord who has never left nor forsaken us. That's the only way any church survives and thrives, is with the hand of the Holy Spirit resting plainly upon it. So to end our time this morning in this sermon, if you've noticed over the last decade, we always have somebody with a camera clicking pictures during services. We've had volunteer photographers at almost every service for the last 10 years. And I looked this week and we have amassed more than 10,000 pictures in our archive. And so I asked Aubrey Porter to go through them, okay? Because she is excellent. And so Aubrey took a few weeks and has combed through 10,000 pictures. She's picked our favorite ones. And we made a slideshow, like a 5-minute slideshow, for us to really, from 2015 to 2025, walk through our first 10 years together. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pray. We're going to watch that thing. And then I'm going to get up here and we're going to respond like we always do every Sunday at Fathom Church. So would you join me in prayer? You're a good father. Lord, you're so good to us. You were faithful when we were not. You provide good things when we are self-seeking. Lord, you extend mercy upon mercy, grace upon grace, and we are so undeserving of these things. And it is a great gift that we get to see that together in community. So, Father, we thank you. All of our gratitude, all of our thanksgiving today is to you, Jesus. You are the one who we want to praise. We're grateful that you have sustained this church. We're grateful that you have provided for this church. We're grateful that these friends of ours in this room today, we are looking around and we see family members, that this is our people, that we are united. So Lord, whatever you have for us in our second decade together, would you lead us? We commit once again, Father, that Jesus is the head of our church, that he is our good shepherd, and that we follow him. Guide us in any direction you want. Lord, we love you. We pray all of these things. In the name of Jesus, by the power of the Spirit, and all of God's people said, amen. Let's watch this together.